and you better follow fast. All right, get your pens ready. Get your family news ready. Get ready to fill in the blank. Vision. Without vision, God says people will perish. Without vision, and that perishes, will live a life that has no direction. Jesus came to present to us the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get back to the image of God that He created us in and pleasing God in a relationship with Him without following Jesus. And so you got to keep that in mind as we're going down through these passages of what's God calling you and I to have? What does He want us to see? How do I visualize something in my life? Vision in itself is the ability to plan the future with wisdom. What are you planning for yourself in becoming more of a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, to where you need to ask God for wisdom to guide you? Last week I made a statement, I'm going to stick by the statement, I believe in this statement, is that I believe the church has put the church before God too many times. Now, what I mean by that is that when you go through God, to love God first, He's going to teach you how to lay down your life for the church. But see, usually people see laying down your life for the church is not a part of the thing. It's become a competition of who's right, who's wrong, who does the right method, who doesn't do the right thing. Well, they don't teach the right thing over there. Well, brothers and sisters, as a part of my past, when I looked in Scripture, there's areas that we're not teaching accurate either. And we're going to get to the point about the spiritual gift of God. The one that we need to be born of. That, Lord's willing, next week we're going to look at the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. So vision is the ability to plan the future with wisdom. Ask God for it. Now tell me if this church is putting God first or themselves first. Okay? It was brought to my attention about one of the latest Christian Chronicles. A lot of times in Christian Chronicles, they have a lot of good articles and everything, but they also post areas of where churches are looking for somebody to come and work with them or do the preaching or something. The person who put this forth to me, wanted to make sure I told them that I didn't tell you who they are, because you may think that that person was trying to get me to leave. You can laugh at that. Okay. But so anyway, here, tell me if this church is putting themselves and their vision ahead of God's vision. The Church of Christ, I'm not going to name the city or the state, needs a full-time, hard-working, special type of minister. This congregation has existed for more than 100 years. It has about 30 members. Many of the 30 are over 60 years old. Rural and sickly. No elders, but is debt-free. Loving, but stubborn and conservative. Church first, God's vision first. when you have to state yourself as being loving and stubborn and conservative, I think you're putting your church first before God. Actually, I don't look at love's not going to overflow as much with stubbornness and what conservativeness means really in our churches. A lot of times conservative is not meant like what the world. I remember Rick Astley said, only in amongst us as churches of Christ, he's considered liberal, non-traditional. Just because they do different methods to do different things, they don't do it like they did 50 years ago. Only in the church he's a liberal. To the world he's a conservative because he believes in God. He believes in the birth of Jesus. And the birth of Jesus came through the Virgin. He came down. That's conservative to the world. But most of the time churches want preachers to come in to agree with their way that they think it should be done. Do you want that as our vision? Now, I guess, can we just go ahead and admit to each other, at times, you and I are stubborn? Anybody? Ever have a stubborn moment? They call them senior moments, but I'm just calling it stubborn moments, okay? Conservative or liberal is in the mind of the person, and it turns the church into politics. We're either going to follow Jesus or we're not. There's some things about Jesus that upset people who were godly, fearing, and knowledgeable of Scripture. It's just the way they interpret the Scripture to be and the motives behind their knowledge. So you got to watch what. That's what I call spiritual cataracts. It'll keep us from having a 2020 vision. A 2020 vision for this church. I pray that the year 2020 can create a vision that will just consume us, that we want to be disciples of Jesus, that every time there's an opportunity I can be here, I'm going to be here because I got to learn from Jesus. I want to be here so I can learn how to lay down my life for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to learn from Jesus how I can team up with other people and pray for other people that they would come to Jesus Christ, because one of these years, something's going to happen and it's going to be this big sounding horn and Jesus is going to return and there's tons of people that's not going to be ready. And you might be sitting there this morning and saying, I'm not sure if I'm ready. It's time for us to get ready for the return of the Lord. And then anticipate it. Welcome it. But while He gives us each day, it's just another opportunity to lay down my life for brothers and sisters and to present a good news message to this world. Every day He gives us. Some of that times will be through service. Some of that times will be through talking. Some of that time will just be through inviting. So, brothers, this Saturday, look for a way. That 22 committed people to this think may turn into 44. Man, God is a wonderful God. He's a very powerful God. He will place you in somebody's life that needs to be invited, and He will call you to invite them. But spiritual cataracts get in the way. What is a spiritual cataract? Well, it's spiritual sin. I mean, we're going to have sin in our life, but it's a blindness too. It's a blindness to the mission and the call. It's a deafness to hearing what God wants us to hear and be what He calls us to be. But spiritual vision, spiritual sin, spiritual blindness is spiritual cataracts. the fearfulness of devoting yourself to the life of Christ because you may make a mistake after you make the commitment. I just got to ask you, brothers, have you made a mistake since the day that you made a vow and commitment to your wife? Have you made mistakes to her? Randy, are you going to make mistakes? Okay, now the thing is that we don't accept the mistakes as who we are. We admit the mistakes and we go to Jesus to ask us to grow to be better. And we need help with that because I tell you, it's too hard for me to do it alone. I need encouragement from other brothers and sisters. And if you don't know if you made a mistake, ask your wife. And wife, if you don't know you have not made a mistake, ask your husband. And don't get in a fight. Our preacher encouraged us to fight. Remember last week I went back and I interviewed Shelley and she had this cataract removed and they actually took the lens out of one part of her glasses. You could poke the finger through and she goes, now I can see. Okay, now she's had both of them removed. Okay, but there was another statement that she said because she was asked, when her mother Kay asked her, well, how nervous are you? This is before the first cataract removal. She said, I am 100% nervous. After going through the cataract removal, the second one was scheduled. So Kay asked her, how nervous are you on this one? She said, I'm 1% nervous. Don't fear what God wants to remove from your life. He doesn't have plans to harm you. He has plans to prosper you. And if you have some spiritual cataracts, He wants to remove them. God created mankind in His own image. Genesis 1:27. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Our 2020 focus needs to be, or our 2020 vision needs to be, as a collective body of Christ, we're going to ask God, please build your kingdom here. Allow your kingdom to be among us, and allow your kingdom to be in us. I pray that that's what you will ask God for every day of this year and on. I want you to be among us, your kingdom. Remember what kingdom is. Kingdom of God is the realm or the domain of rule. That's confessing Jesus as Lord. I give Him the authority of my life. I don't take authority of my life and just ask the Lord to bless it. I allow Him to take authority of life. We need a birth. We need to travel to the cross. We need a burial of our past and our sin. And we need a resurrection of a new life. And that's the way of Jesus. And that's the way He'll call you and I to live. But we can't go back, we'll learn, to the crib. This is both a funeral in a nursing room. There's death and there's birth. And if you're wondering what I'm pointing at, there's about four feet of water. Oh, and it's warm. 4 feet of water there that I want you to watch in Scripture. Don't listen to me. Listen to the scripture that I'm going to present, and then I'm going to try to share with you my belief. All right? Now, John's message was to do what? Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare your life for the direction of the authority of Jesus. Now, he had a way to do that. He taught two things. You need to repent. Repent means stop going in your own direction and start heading towards God's direction. That way is found in the life of Jesus Christ. That's why he'll call us to be followers. That's why he'll ask you to be a disciple. So stop the direction, your own direction, because sin separates us from God. People came to John confessing their sins and being baptized. It's so amazing. I don't know what he heard. I had a feeling, though, when I read that, they didn't just say, hey, I confess that I am a sinner. They were confessing what they knew was sin in their life. And they came to him with it. And then, so he says, I baptize you with water. I baptize you in water to show your repentant heart. I baptize with water so that you know that your sins can be buried. Now again, you got to have repentance before forgiveness. Confession of sin, desiring to change the direction, then ask God to forgive you. Don't ask God to forgive you and just keep on being the same old person. Birth something. And we'll learn that as weeks to come as we examine Scripture. The Pharisees and the Sadducees was challenged by John that they needed to produce fruit with keeping with their repentance. Well, good night. All the people that went out to John to confess they were sinning, I read that the confrontation that Jesus had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees is that as if the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't have sin. All they wanted to talk about was their authority. And they loved it. They loved having authoritative positions. God, and Jesus challenged them. John challenged them that you need to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Where's your fruit? We'll look at that in weeks to come. What is the fruit of this wonderful spirit and fire baptism that Jesus brings? Repenting produces godly fruit of God's Spirit in our lives, Galatians chapter 5. So now, how is that supposed to happen? John said, I came to baptize in water. So baptizing in water expresses, it's your expression, it's my expression for the need to repent and to be forgiven. It's actually a statement. Bible's full of symbols. They sacrificed animals before Jesus came, and then Jesus was sacrificed. And what was the principle? Sacrifice. So baptism in water, John says, is for repentance and forgiveness. It's your expression of the need of both. You need to repent of your sins because I confess I have them. I need forgiveness of sin. So John baptized that kind of humble heart that came to him. Now, baptism in water is a burial of your sin. Dead people need to be buried. Dead in your transgressions, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are when we sin. Without Jesus' forgiveness, without repentance in our life, we're dead in our transgressions. Then we need to bury the dead. We need to get those transgressions buried. Transgressions in itself is not just only sin, it's any act that goes against God's rule. Any act. What if he says, Jesus comes along and says to us, Kevin, you say you love me. So if you love me, obey my commandments. Oh, I got to get to know what his commandments are. Because I want to express my love to him by obeying them. And so we search in Scripture and we find all those commandments, all those one another commandments. That'll keep you busy for the rest of your life. Just in relational commandments. Are you loving others as I have loved you? If you are making an effort towards learning that, then you're following me. See, I mentioned about you coming here, sitting here, going through five acts. Leave here, God's happy, we're done, we get to live the way we want to. That might be putting church first instead of Christ. Sounds like it to me. Baptism is a devotion towards God. Lord's willing, next week I'm going to have probably one of the best devotional explanations of baptism, copies made so you can take them home. Everybody needs to examine yourself and to ask yourself, do you need repentance and do you need forgiveness? And if you haven't been baptized in water to birth something, then I want you to give consideration to what the Scripture's teaching, not what this church teaches. Never, ever listen to the church before Christ. Christ calls the church and leads it. Is that registering? I mean, I have a feeling probably one of our first confessions is that sometimes we've misunderstood church. We are the called out ones, called out of darkness to live in the light, which means called out of sin to follow Jesus. And is our life displaying that? We got to live our baptism every day. Every day. Because he doesn't ask me to repent once. He doesn't say you only need forgiveness once. He says, Jesus, who I'm trying to follow, says, Kevin, you must deny yourself, take up your own cross. I did that for you, but you need to do that for me daily. Daily. So baptism in water is a burial, is a covering over. For some of you who haven't studied it out, the New Testament is translated from the Greek language. So we had to have somebody translate in the English language. But the Greek, actually, definition for when John says baptism or baptized, anytime you see that in the Scripture, is displaying from the Greek language a covering over or a burial. Now, we get so caught up on the argument with other people of do you have to do that or do you not have to do that? And I tell you, the argument is not in the substance what we got to share without arguing is the love of Christ and the need for repentance and forgiveness. Then you go to the water. As David said last week, without repentance and forgiveness, we get wet. What's Peter say? It's not the cleansing of your body, your physical body. It's the clearing of the conscience that you have between God because you sinned and separated yourself from Him. I hate to ask you to do that. Go back a couple of slides on that song. Yeah, this one. Okay, this is a song that we're going to introduce to you in the future. I don't know if we'll be able to sing it as a congregation. We will have to work at it if we do. Okay, probably we will need to present a group singing it and then try to learn it little by little. But it's called Build Your Kingdom Here. But here's the words, here's the lyrics, here's the meaning of expression that we would put notes to. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Ooh, I like this one. Set your church on fire. Now, David, I'll talk to you about that one in a different realm, okay? It doesn't mean light and torch this building tonight, okay? Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Our nation can be led in the wrong direction. And if we're trying to get rid of God in our culture, as a whole, we're part of the USA. So we're a part of the whole. If we're trying to get God out of it, we better set forth a tone of love for people to try to convince them, you don't want God out of this country. Keep Him in. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Now, this is one I love to talk about. It's like the aura. Change the atmosphere. You know, when you go out and you grumble and complain, that's an atmosphere. You will probably find that the people who love to spend a lot of time around you will start diminishing if you continue to grumble and complain. Okay? Because it's the atmosphere that they step into when they're in your presence. So what kind of atmosphere do you bring? Build your kingdom here. Oh, Hickory Church of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at that. Actually, the whole sermon series is going to be on that. Hopefully, we can learn to sing it. It's a peppy song. It will lift you up and set you on fire. So, here's your question. Here's what I want to leave with you this morning. Because the passage was already read about Jesus. I'll explain it. John didn't want to. John didn't want to baptize Jesus. He's like, I'm unworthy to even untie his sandals. I baptize you with water for repentance, forgiveness. And Jesus is going to come along and baptize you with what? With the Spirit and fire or power. Okay? And you got to remember that. That's Jesus' baptism. Now, we find Jesus in the repentance and the forgiveness because it's a relationship with Him. But He'll come along and baptize you with the Spirit as long as your heart has repented and understand the conviction of your sin. I get asked all the time, well, when is somebody ready for baptism? Well, I first want to talk to them about why they want to be. You want me to tell you a few? I had one little girl come forward up at Minnesota, and she sat down and she said, well, it's just because then I could be accepted into this church. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, that they would make me a member. So I knew that she's all focused on what the church would do, and I never heard anything about conviction of sin. So I needed to put that on halt and just say, could we get together and study some more? I've heard people, young people, say, well, I want to be baptized so I can take the snack that you guys get, that I'm told I'm not allowed to have until I'm baptized. So baptize me. Adults, have we made it a snack in our heart? A routine that we go through? Why did Jesus ask John to baptize him? He tells John, this must happen. Why? So righteousness will be fulfilled. Whose? Well, I believe Jesus and us. Now, he didn't have any sins to repent of. He didn't have sins or forgiven of. But he needed to fulfill a mission that God sent him here for. And that was to go to the cross and to die and to be resurrected. The same fulfillment of righteousness that Jesus came down here to serve God with is the one he'll call you to be disciples to do yourself. Die of yourself, be forgiven, and live a new life. It's not a church code. It's a Christ following. Fulfillment of righteousness is when Jesus confessed and actually connected with the sin of the people who was coming to John. I've heard this statement. Dead people need to be buried. Those who want to be dead of their know they're dead in their transgression, we need to bury that life and come out anew. Dirty people need a bath. Not about your physical thing, but you need your conscience cleared before God. You need to be cleaned. Show the need for us, Jesus fulfilling righteousness, shows the need for us of repenting and forgiveness to follow his way. I believe Jesus begins his ministry here, and he's going to come and say, follow me. It identifies himself with what he calls us to with a humble heart. He meets us there. If you're here this morning and need a spiritual birth, you need to repent. You need to be forgiven. You want and desire to devote yourself to being a disciple of Jesus. Then follow Jesus, not some church code. Follow Jesus and connect with him in baptism. Because then you express a burial of the old and a refreshing new birth for the new. I don't know about you, but that gets to the core of me. And we are not pleasing to God when we teach this as just an item to do. A checklist to get done. An argument to make with other people who don't believe that you have to do something like this. I just ask you, do I need to? Ask yourself that. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. It's like God made him who had no sin so that you and I can have righteousness fulfilled in us. You've been water baptized? How's your fulfillment of God's righteousness? Where's it at? Have you turned back to the old life? Or are you still working on the new one? If you're still back in the old life, you need to repent. Change your direction. Ask God for forgiveness. You met Jesus once in the water, but if you confess that you just got wet, I believe we need to clear your conscience. But that's your decision. Many of people have come to me 10 years after they got wet and said, I need to recommit. I need to make a commitment. I never made it. Bury me with Jesus. I don't argue with them. I want their conscience ready. If you need to respond towards that type of life today, we give you that opportunity. Most of you probably are not going to. The hesitant and the fear is to do something in a crowd. But it would be a great statement for all of us to see. If you're ready to repent and commit your life to Jesus, you're ready for baptism. If you know you have separated yourself from God and you got to get that washed away so you can learn anew, you're ready. If you're ready, come. Jesus is tenderly calling. Let's stand.
Tenderly calling.